So yesterday we were looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And again, to give you a little bit of a background, what took place just before this, what preceded this directly before the verses we're about to read, is the story of Jesus, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to Jerusalem with his face firmly set on Jerusalem because he knows what's before him. He knows that he has to give his life, that this is what he's come for, to be God in the flesh, to die, to go to the cross, take our sins to the cross, to die, pay the penalty for our sins, and then to raise again. So his face is set on Jerusalem, and it says that he sends his disciples ahead of him into a Samaritan village. And the Samaritans, seeing that Jesus was face set on going to Jerusalem, wouldn't let him come through, offered no hospitality, would not let him come through, did not welcome him. Because, again, the Samaritans were the adversarial with the Jews. Same heritage, at least partially the same heritage, but very adversarial. The Jews worshipped in Jerusalem as God had instructed in the Old Testament, while the Samaritans, they worshipped in Dan, and off the top of my head, I forget, there was two places that they could go to worship. And since Jesus was not going to go to worship at their places, they considered that a rejection of themselves, and they would not let Jesus be welcomed in that village. So that's what just happened. And then let me read these verses, and I'll tell you what we said yesterday really quickly, and then we'll move on. So that just happened. And then it says, now it happened as they journeyed. So they're still on their road going to Jerusalem. It happened as they journeyed that somebody said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are of my house. But Jesus said to him, nobody having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this is Jesus talking about the cost of following him, the cost of discipleship. And we read these three examples, two men that came to Jesus and said, I'll follow you, and one where Jesus said to him, come and follow me. And in all three of these cases, we see that there's a cost involved in discipleship. Now, that first one we looked at yesterday, it's the man that said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What he was saying there, as we saw yesterday, that referred to the story we just talked about, where Jesus had been planning to go through Samaria and staying at the Samaritan village, but that village had rejected him and would not make him welcome there. So that just having taken place, this is why Jesus is saying, listen, foxes have holes, birds have places to nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head because he was rejected. He was being rejected by the Samaritans, and Jesus is going to be rejected by Israel itself in the coming days. So Jesus is letting this man know, you said you'd follow me anywhere. You need to know that to follow me means you are going to be rejected. There will be those who reject you, and there will even be those who persecute you because you believe in me. Because you follow me. You say you will follow me wherever I go. You have to know there's a cost involved in following. And that same thing is true for you and I today. We are believers in Jesus Christ. And the example I gave yesterday was a friend who is working at a very non-Christian place. It's a very secular place. It's a good place, but it's just secular. And it's very academic. And as such, Christians are often mocked there. And so my friend often feels that they're receiving, being mocked. That they're on the receiving end of mockery. Is that a word? They're on the receiving end of being mocked all the time because of her beliefs. And this is what Jesus told us to expect. So we should not be surprised when we see the culture turning against Christians. We should not be surprised when we see those things happening. This is what can be expected. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you said you'd follow me anywhere. You need to understand there's going to be rejection. There will even be persecution. So that's one of the costs of following Jesus. Now, as we saw yesterday, you can look at that and say, oh, man, do I really want to endure that? Listen, you might be rejected, But you and I have the privilege and the honor of being the lights of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that take the truth of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have been entrusted to take the freedom and the liberty of Jesus Christ to the world, to the very world that mocks us, but so desperately wants and needs the freedom and the liberty of Jesus Christ. You and I are the ones who get to take that word, be that light, be His ambassadors. And even when we're rejected, we have the confidence of knowing we are never rejected in Jesus, and we always have. He always is there to comfort us. He's always there to encourage us and strengthen us, even in those times of rejection. And you might find your family rejects you as well. This is part of the cost of following Jesus. So now it goes on in verse number 59. So here's the second. So we had that first. This is the man that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere. And then we saw this response that Jesus gave. Now in verse number 60, verse number 59. Then he said to another. So this is Jesus now speaking to another. The first man came to Jesus. Jesus says this to another one. He says to another, follow me. Now this is very reminiscent of what we've seen when Jesus called the disciples. When we saw Jesus calling the disciples here in the Gospels, he said, follow me. He called them. Now it's up to the individuals whether they heed that call. It's up to the individual to choose whether to follow Jesus or not. We see the 12 disciples, they all responded positively. For all the ones who were fishermen, they made it very clear. They set aside their nets and left their boats. They left everything to follow Jesus. We just saw Matthew. Set aside. He left everything. He was a tax collector. He left everything behind to follow Jesus. Here Jesus finds another person. And you have to stop and think about this. Jesus specifically chose those 12 disciples to be part of his inner circle. He chose them. He chose them and he put his hand out and offered them. He said, come, follow me. These 12 responded. Well, here we see again, Jesus is saying, the first person came to Jesus and said, Jesus, look, I will follow you wherever you go. This next person, they didn't come and say, Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, this is someone that Jesus chose. Jesus seeing their hearts, seeing who they were, knowing that individual, choosing that individual to be part of his inner circle, to be with him, to follow him. This is an invitation by Jesus. He said, follow me. But the man that he said it to responded thusly, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now we read that and it sounds like it's a harsh thing because Jesus' response is, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. It sounds like a very harsh thing. It sounds like, well, wait a minute. The man's father is dead and Jesus won't even let him go bury his father? Well, that seems kind of harsh. That's not what's taking place. What this means is the man is saying, again, the man didn't come to Jesus and say, I'll follow you. Jesus said, come and follow me. He gave the invitation to the man. And what the man is essentially saying is, you know what? I will do that. When the time comes that my father has died, when he dies, I'll bury him and I will come follow you. But give me time to be with my father. Give me time to spend the rest of the years that I have with my father. Whatever time I have left, I want to be with him and I'm going to spend with him. Once that has taken place, then I will follow you. That's essentially what's being said. Jesus, in response, says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom. So in other words, he's saying, and you have to remember, Jesus knows how much time he has left. The reality is, if this man that Jesus gave the invitation to, if he doesn't accept that invitation now and follow Jesus, it's a missed opportunity. Because what this man didn't know is, you know, this man could probably look and say, look, my father's, he's only going to live a few more years. Jesus is a young man. He'll have a ministry here. I can come back 5 years from now and join Jesus and finish out the ministry with him. What that young man didn't know is Jesus didn't have years. He had days remaining, days before he would die. So this is an invitation to come and to follow. This is an invitation to come and to be a part of Jesus. That's time sensitive. You can't come back and do it later. How many times does Jesus say to us, come, follow me? No, seriously, follow me. Not just with a half heart, not just by saying, I accept you, Jesus, but follow me, follow after me. Take up your cross daily. Again, as we're looking at Luke chapter 9, If we go back to the earlier stages, about halfway through this chapter, we're in verse number 60. If you go back to verse number 23, this is where Jesus said, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Jesus said, if somebody wants to follow me, this is how you follow. You have to take up the cross daily and follow me. Now, it's easy for us to take up the cross and say, I will follow Jesus. But do we do that on a daily basis? See, a lot of times we say, I will take up the cross. I will accept the work that Jesus did for me. I will accept the fact that I'm a sinner, that as a sinner, I need a Savior. And there's only one man that could pay the price for my sins, only one man worthy of paying the price for my sins, and that's Jesus. And he already did the work, and he did it for me, and I accept that work. I don't deserve it, but I accept it. So we take the cross. We accept that cross. We die to our sins and live in him. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you have to daily take up the cross. That means daily I set aside self. Because I've died to self. And I now live in Christ. Living in Christ, dying to self, living in Christ means my desires are secondary. You know, my desires are not the prime thing. My desires are not the most important thing. My desire should be, first and primary, should be, Lord, what's your will? What is your desire? What is your will? That's what I want to do. Today, what is your will for me today? When's the last time you started a day and you began the day by saying, Lord, what is your will for me today? What do you desire for me today? I'm seeking you. Show me what you'd have me to do. I'm ready. You prepare me for the day that I can fulfill what you've prepared for me today, that I can advance your kingdom today in the ways that you've established and the ways that you've prepared. This is what it means to follow him and to follow him daily. So again, here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus has already said, anyone that desires to come after me, let him deny. Let him. He's not forcing us. Let him. So in other words, you make the choice. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For most of us in the body of Christ, it's too easy to take up the cross once, however many years ago, and then not give it a whole lot of thought. On a daily basis, we don't give it a whole lot of thought. We need to follow him today. Tomorrow, you can still do it today, but tomorrow when you get up, here's the first question. Spend time with him, but just be asking him, Lord, what is it you have for me today? I am yours. I'm your vessel. Use me. What you've prepared for my day, I freely walk into it. Show me what you'd have me do today. And the amazing thing is if you do that and you spend time reading the Word of God, I assure you, whatever you read in the Word of God, he's going to bring it back up in your day. And it's going to be to your advantage, to your good. And it's going to be freedom, liberty, life, answers, encouragement, strength to someone else in your day. Because you took the time to put it in your mind. He will use it to affect and touch somebody else. So Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom. In other words, he's saying, listen, the world, you're either going to be in the world or you're going to be focused on the things of Christ. You're either focused on the world or the things of the spiritual realm. And let the dead bury the dead. You be focused not on the spiritual, on the natural things, on the physical things, but you be focused on the spiritual things. You be focused on the kingdom of God. In other words, come now, because this is a limited offer. I'm not going to be here that much longer. If you're going to come and follow, you have to do it now. Focus on the spiritual. Focus on the kingdom, not on the natural things, not on the things of this world. Then in verse number 61, and I'll set this up, we'll look at this tomorrow. Verse number 61, another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, nobody having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we've looked at the two. There's three men here that Jesus is using as an example for the cost of following, the cost of discipleship. We saw the first man yesterday, the second man today, which Jesus called. Tomorrow we'll look at that third man that again comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you. We'll see what Jesus says, what the response of the man is, and the point that Jesus has for us. But the thing I want us to remember today is we are called, we are his, we've given our lives to him. Our lives are not our own, but they're his. And if I know that and believe that, and if I want to follow him, and if I want to be productive, useful, a vessel that he can use today, I've got to look to him and ask him, Jesus, what do you have for me today? This is what I will do. That is where I'll go. That's what I will do. And you're going to think to yourself, well, what if he asked me to do something hard? You know what? Jesus is going to prepare you for whatever it is you have to do. It won't be hard. Once you do it in obedience, he takes care of all things. If I just obey, he takes care of all the difficulties.